Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Hey, thank you for joining us this afternoon. By the way, the title Test All Things is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program. It is dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity, especially in the area of the kingdom of the cults. Well, today's title is, What is a Cult? You know, the word cult just carries just such a negative connotation to it, doesn't it? You know, it brings shivers to people, it brings fear to people, and maybe it should. What comes to your mind when you hear the word cult? What do you think of? Do you think of people with shaved heads at the airport selling flowers? Do you think of people living in communes aggressively trying to recruit innocent victims? How about people sitting in circles chanting mantras? What about devil worshippers, tarot card readers, psychics? Well, before we get into what a cult is, I want to lay a bit of groundwork. There are three main monotheistic world religions. Can you name them? I'll give you a hint. One is Judaism, one is Islam, and the other is, that's right, Christianity. That was a big hint. Judaism and Islam are not cults. Now, they are not true. However, they are monotheistic religions. That is, they believe in one God. Now, the ministry behind Test All Things, Tower to Truth, deals with religious cults of Christianity. They're sometimes referred to as non-Christian cults. An example of a cult of Islam would be the Nation of Islam, headed by Farrakhan. You may remember years ago the Million Man March. Now, we're not going to be dealing with them in this study. They are outside the scope of what is called a non-Christian cult. Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, is also not a cult. Again, Hinduism is not true. However, it is a polytheistic world religion. That is, Hindus believe in many gods, prefix poly meaning many. So, with that laid, what is a cult? What is what I call a non-Christian cult? If you're a Baptist, are the Presbyterians a cult? If you're a Presbyterian, are the Pentecostals a cult? Are you a cult if you have drums in your church? Are you a cult if you read a version other than the King James Version of the Bible? How about non-denominational churches? Are they cults? Well, I like the definition by Walter Martin. Walter Martin is a late counter-cult expert who basically dedicated his life to aggressively exposing many non-Christian cults. And his book, Kingdom of the Cults, is still alive and well today. And it's interesting that his book was really one of the first comprehensive studies on cults available to the public, and it inspired many men into the field of countercult, into the field of apologetics and defending the faith. Well, Martin said, a cult is a group of people centered around someone's interpretation of the Bible who claim to be Christian but deny one or more of the essential teachings of Christianity. Let me repeat that. A cult is a group of people centered around someone's interpretation of the Bible who claim to be Christian but deny one or more of the essential teachings of Christianity. Now, does that mean that if your church teaches the rapture will happen before the tribulation period, and my church teaches that the rapture will happen in the middle of the tribulation, that one of our churches is a cult? What if your church teaches that tongues are spoken today, and my church teaches that tongues have ceased? Does that mean one of our churches is a cult? No. These are side issues of Christianity, and I'm not saying they're not important, but they are side issues. Cults deny the main essential doctrines of the faith. Now, what are essential doctrines? versus non-essential doctrines of the faith? Well, essential doctrines or essential teachings are those teachings that are fundamental, necessary, and inseparable to biblical Christianity, specifically dealing with the nature of God, the person and work of Christ, and salvation. What are some examples of the essential teachings of Christianity? How about the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the Trinity, the personality and deity of the Holy Spirit? How about the second coming of Christ? How about salvation by grace through faith? These are all essential teachings of the Christian faith, and to deny one or more of them will seriously jeopardize, if not downright exclude, your eternal salvation and claim to be Christian. If you claim to be a Christian, you believe in all the essential doctrines of the faith, or will come to believe in them when presented with the information. Now, how about non-essential teachings? What are they? Well, they're teachings that have no direct bearing on the nature of God, the person and work of Jesus, and salvation. Non-essential teachings allow for different schools of thought, for different schools of interpretation among believers, and do not affect salvation. Some examples of non-essential teachings would be whether or not tongues are in use today, the timing of end times events, such as the rapture of the church, how often the Lord's Supper is celebrated. Do we celebrate it every week? Do we do it once a month? How about the mode of baptism? Are we immersed or are we sprinkled? Are we chosen or did we have free will when coming to Jesus? You know, the age-old Calvinism-Arminianism debate. Well, what are some doctrines cults deny? You know, since there are so many non-Christian cults with so many different beliefs, we can't broad stroke all of them into a neat belief system. We can't box them all into a neat package. But cults will, for the most part, always deny four essential teachings of Christianity. That is, the Trinity. The Trinity means that there is one God who is manifested in three co-equal, co-eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second doctrine that cults deny would be the eternal deity of Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus is and always was God. Cults will deny that. The third doctrine will be the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And fourthly, salvation by grace through faith apart from works. Now again, not every cult will always deny all four of these doctrines. For example, Mormonism does believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, but these are what I would call the big four, the essential doctrines most attacked, denied, and perverted by cults and false religions. Again, that's the Trinity, the eternal deity of Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and salvation by grace through faith apart from works. I have a challenge for you. Do you know how to biblically defend these big four doctrines? Can you show me in the Bible where it says that Jesus is God and has always been God? How about the Trinity? Can you show me that? Can you show me scripture that supports the bodily resurrection of Christ? How about salvation by grace through faith apart from works? Well, you might say, hey, that's your job. You're the radio man. No, that's your job. I can't study for you. I can't be with every one of you when the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking at your door. I can't be with every one of you when the atheist at work attacks your faith in the Bible. Each man is responsible to learn and study for himself. Yes, it's my job to warn you. It's my job to exhort you. It's my job to equip you. But it's not my job to make you learn. You are in charge of your own study time dedicated to be in God's Word. Now, I am not saying that you all need to be a walking Bible or become the next greatest theologian in Pennsylvania. But I am saying that you should know how to defend the fundamental, essential teachings of what you believe. And you know, if you have a hard time memorizing scripture, many people do, that's okay. Just write those verses down in the front of your Bible. Know where to get them when you need them. Jude 3 says to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. If you have a firm foundation on the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, and salvation by grace through faith, you will be able to stand up against most of the heresies out there today. And you will be what Paul called a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. On our website at towertotruth.net, we have a nifty little fast fact sheet called Watchtower Doctrine versus Christianity. It will show you what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about teachings such as the Trinity, the resurrection, salvation, the Holy Spirit, hell, death, the second coming of Jesus, etc. And it will also show you the biblical scriptures that support what Christianity believes. If you want to access this, go to our homepage. Click on the button that says Jehovah's Witnesses and click on the button that says Witnessing Tips. Now, if you don't have internet access, that's okay. You can write to us and we'll mail you out for free a copy of the article along with a few free tracts on Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this is not going to make you a theologian just by having this piece of paper, but it's a start. It will help you. Last week I addressed the question, what is a cult? Now today will be part two of this message, but first a little bit of review. Last week I said that a cult is a group of people centered around someone's interpretation of the Bible who claim to be Christian but deny one or more of the essential teachings of Christianity. Now today I'm going to discuss the marks of a cult. Apart from doctrine, are there any common characteristics of a cult? Is there any behavior, attitude, or mindset that would make a religious group dangerous or cultic? Well, the answer is yes. And today we're going to look at five marks of a cult. Number one, cults usually have an authoritative leader or organization who becomes the cult's messiah. In essence, what happens is that this leader or organization becomes the cultist's road to eternal life, replacing Jesus Christ. You know, whether admitted or not by the cult member, his hope of salvation hinges upon the cult leader and adherence to the group. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses' main publication is called The Watchtower Magazine. You may have seen it. It's named after its organization called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. In the December 1, 1981 issue, it says, quote, "Unless we are in touch with this channel of communication that God is using, we will not progress along the road to life, no matter how much Bible reading we do." In other words, the Watchtower is implying that Scripture is not sufficient to reveal to us God's plan of salvation. The Watchtower will have you believe, as do most cults, that ultimate salvation is dispensed through it and it alone. I have an article here from WorldNet Daily. You can find them worldnetdaily.com. This article is from June 14, 2004. It's about Reverend Sung Young Moon, who is the leader and founder of the Unification Church, better known as Moonies. Now, the title of this article is Reverend Moon Holds Coronation at Capitol. And let me read you a couple small paragraphs. Quote, "Decked out in a campy floor-length cape, the Reverend Moon was presented with an ornate gold crown and a Lifetime Achievement Award. Introduced by a shofar-blowing rabbi, the Reverend told the star-studded audience that a new era had come. Open your hearts and receive the secrets that heaven is disclosing in this age through me. The religious leader, sounding like a self-proclaimed Messiah, is quoted as saying, in the context of heaven's providence, I am God's ambassador, sent to earth with his full authority. I am sent to accomplish his command to save the world's 6 billion people restoring them to heaven with the original goodness in which they were created. You know, red flags should be going up all over the place right now. Can we refute this with the Bible? What does Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does Peter say in Acts 4:12? Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Obviously speaking of Jesus. Mark number 2. Cults often have extra-biblical literature that is placed on par with the Bible as being authoritative. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses have the Watchtower and Awake magazines. The Unification Church has Divine Principle. Christian Scientists have Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And Mormons have three additional works other than the Bible. One of them is the Book of Mormon. In the introduction to the Book of Mormon, it says that, quote, the Book of Mormon is a volume of holy scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Well, I'm sorry, Latter-day Saints, but the Bible rules and there is no book comparable to it. It is historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, and prophetically accurate, and contains the power of God to save. There is no further revelation that we need today. The Bible is God's complete revelation to us. Jude verse 3 says to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And you know, Christians have extra-biblical literature too. We have books by Billy Graham, by Charles Stanley, by Chuck Swindoll. And they're fine books. But the difference is, we do not place their writings on an equal par with Scripture, nor do we need them to interpret the Bible for us. Mark number 3. A cult dissuades any independent thinking on the part of its members. The Watchtower magazine again, January 15, 1983, says, quote, avoid independent thinking, questioning the counsel that is provided by God's visible organization. A cult leader will strive to get you to believe that he is God's true messenger or prophet to earth. Once you believe that the cult leader is God's representative, he knows you will willingly give your allegiance to the cult, stop questioning, and be caught hook, line, and sinker. You know, does the Bible tell us this? Does the Bible recommend that we avoid independent thinking or that we avoid questioning spiritual things? No. The name of this very program is Test All Things, taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's amazing that people can be so educated in worldly matters, but so spiritually ignorant. You know, people in cults are not stupid. Many members of the Latter-day Saint Church, that is the Mormons, they're leaders of businesses and even multi-million dollar corporations. But when it comes to God, they willingly forfeit their minds over. Why? Because their religion has deceived them and demands obedience for salvation. Remember, to a cult member, their religion is equal to God, and to question the cult is to question God. Mark number 4. Cults claim that they alone have God's full revelation and are the true remnant of believers out of apostate Christianity. The cult will often claim that the Christian church started out on the right track but fell into apostasy at some point. It will claim that precious truths of the gospel were either lost, or corrupted, or replaced by pagan doctrines. And the cult will declare that it has restored God's full message of salvation to the world, and it alone has been commissioned by God to have exclusive and full spiritual authority on earth. You heard that with the Reverend Moon quote a couple minutes ago. Doctrine and Covenants, which is a Mormon publication, which they regarded as Holy Scripture, says the Mormon Church is, quote, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased. You know, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say there is only one true church? No. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of born-again believers all over the world. The church is not a denomination, it's not a building, but it's the people of God. You might want to read 1 Peter chapter 2 to read more about that. How about, does the Bible say that there will be a time when the church will cease to exist upon the earth and need to be restored, as the Mormon church claims? No. Scripture does say that there will be an apostasy during the last days, but not a complete falling away. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Ephesians 3:21, Paul wrote to him, that is God, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end, amen. How could God have been given glory in the church throughout all ages if the church fell into a total apostasy? Mark number 5. Adherence to the cult's rules and teachings is mandatory, and to leave the cult is to leave God, and any hope of salvation is lost. Again, the Watchtower magazine, December 1, 1981, speaking of itself here, says, quote, what is your attitude toward directives from the faithful and discreet slave? Loyalty should move you to be ready to obey. Cults often use fear tactics to keep its members in bondage. They often teach that the hope of salvation hinges upon one's continued involvement and work within the cult, and that one cannot gain eternal life apart from them. Notice also that a cult will always add works to the gospel. You know, faith is never enough for them. There is always something that a person needs to do to be saved, and he never has the full assurance of salvation. The cult member is forever kept in bondage to legalism, whether it's going from door to door, tithing, abstaining from this, abstaining from that, selling flowers on the street corner, going out and gaining new converts. There is always works added to faith. The Watchtower, again, July 1, 1947, says, to get one's name written in that book of life will depend upon one's works. The Book of Mormon says, quote, for we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all we can do. You know, what does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 really say? For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't mix grace and works. They are opposites. You know, people in cults need help. They really do. They need to be presented with the true gospel that saves. They are not on the road to life, but on the broad road to destruction. Have a heart for them. Share with them what Jesus has done for you. After all, if you are in a cult, wouldn't you want someone to help you? If you would like a tape or CD of today's message called What is a Cult, which includes last week's message also, please send $4 to us along with a note saying which title you want. Make your check or money order payable to Fran Sankey, that's S-A-N-K-E-Y, and send to P.O. Box 51, Morton, PA, 19070. That's P.O. Box 51, Morton, PA, 19070. And be sure to tell us which format you want, tape or CD. For more information, including witnessing tips to use with cults, our web address is tower2truth.net. We also have a newsletter that you can receive free for the asking. Drop us an email and let us know if you'd like an email version or a hard copy. Our email address is help@tower2truth.net. And we're also available to teach on cults and Bible discernment at your church, Sunday school, or upcoming retreat. Don't miss us again next week when we discuss Jesus of the Watchtower. Remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.